From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're glad you've decided to join us for today's program. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelsch inviting you to stay with us for a message from God's Word, some Christ-honoring sacred music, and the hot topic of the day. Currently, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the subject of Christ, the Divine Teacher. As we look at the parables Christ used in His teaching, we see that He dealt exclusively with great truths as set forth in the Holy Scriptures. First, here is Dr. Cairns with today's hot topic, 9/11.
This is a solemn day for America. On this day, 6 years ago, Muslim terrorists brought their war of terror to America. With reckless fanaticism, they killed over 3,000 innocent people as they brought down the Twin Towers at the World Trade Center. That day will forever be etched on the consciousness of the nation. It ranks right up there with Japan's unprovoked aggression at Pearl Harbor. Like December 7, September 11 will go down in history as a day of infamy. So today is a day for remembering. We should remember the families that were bereaved, people who lost loved ones and today are still trying to put together the pieces of their fractured lives. We pray that God will give them His comfort and will draw near to them and grant them the light of His presence and the joy of His salvation. We should also remember who it was who attacked us and why. We constantly hear that not all Muslims are terrorists, and that's true. I recently had the opportunity to speak with a Muslim gentleman, and I use that word in its best sense, and there's no doubt that he would abominate the actions of Islamic terrorists as much as you or I would. But the fact remains that around the world there is a growing Islamic hatred of America and a parallel desire to humiliate this nation. America is not in a religious war and should not be, but a large segment of a worldwide religion has declared war on America. Britain's new Prime Minister has outlawed the use of the terms Muslim terrorist and war on terror. He wants to treat actions such as we witnessed on 9/11 as crimes, not acts of war. His aim is to allay the fears of moderate Muslims that the West has set out to crush Islam. But all his fancy verbal footwork cannot hide the reality. Much of Islam is at war with us. We would do well to remember that. Today we should also remember the goodness of God. Politicians are apt to take the credit that we have not suffered another attack over the last 6 years. I know that our security forces deserve all our admiration for their dedication to our safety. But at the end of the day, we are dependent on the Lord to frustrate the plans of our enemies. This is also a day to remember the apparent mood of repentance and interest in spiritual things that was seen after 9/11. And we should mourn that it has evaporated like the morning dew. The awful fact is that America learnt nothing of any spiritual value through the awful experiences of that dreadful day. With alarming rapidity, the nation got back to its old, godless ways. What religion it has manifested has been a syncretistic mixture of various faiths, the pattern for which was set in the memorial service for the victims of 9/11 that was held in the National Cathedral. So today is a day not only for remembering, but for repenting. America needs to repent and turn again to the God of our fathers, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It needs to learn that the dark power of Muslim fanaticism and terrorism will never be repulsed by mere military means, necessary as these may be. What America needs is a revival of true biblical Christianity preached and lived out in the genuine power of the Holy Spirit. We need more than the religious hype that has been all too apparent. We need the power of God to call our people back from the abyss to which the sensual secularism of our day has led them. There is no better day than the anniversary of the 9/11 atrocities to start praying, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?"
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of our listeners to these broadcasts. Every day we receive letters in various ways, regular mail, email, and also we receive telephone calls saying thank you and also telling us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, and we want to remind you of the new issue of our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. These are free to those who ask. This particular edition will bring you some very interesting and informative articles. Particularly, there is an article dealing with the conversion of a Muslim to Christ. It's called From Islam to Christ. There are many other very informative and inspiring articles in this particular edition, and you may simply have it for free by writing to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio now, ltbsradio.com. We do hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Have taken God to make him to exist for the good of man. We have taken the gospel and we have made it into a touchy-feely, happy-clappy, for the moment, existential experience. The Lord Jesus dealt with the kingdom of heaven, with the doctrine of salvation. His emphasis was upon the heart and its relationship to the eternal God. He dwelt upon the spiritual. He dwelt upon the eternal. He took the things that the Old Testament prophets had foretold and the desire to look into, and he expounded them by parable. You look at the parables we have read, or the one we have read and the ones to which I have made reference, and you'll see examples of this fixation on great truth. In Matthew 13, he's dealing with the reality of spiritual life in the soul. What has been called the life of God in the soul of man. What a theme. That's what the Lord Jesus was dealing with. He wasn't only dealing with how to do this in your life and how to do that, how to feel good in this situation and all the rest of it. Those things are byproducts of a right relationship with God. But let me tell you, you can feel good and be damned. You can have religious experience and be totally away from God. You remember when David was bringing the ark on the cart back to Jerusalem? And he was in a religious frenzy. He was dancing and praising and singing. There was great joy. The whole company was elevated to the heights of a religious experience. But God was angry with them, was not in their midst except to judge them and to smite Uzzah when he dared to touch the holy ark of God. You can have experience and go to hell with it. You can speak in tongues and be damned, make prophecies and be damned. You can make miracles and be damned. Matthew 7 tells you that clearly. I'm all for emotion in religion. I'm all for feeling in Christianity. I am all for God's people feeling, but I want to tell you the only emotion that I'm interested in producing in God's people or in my own heart is an emotion that is a reaction to great God-given, Christ-centered truth. It is not some surface thing stirred up by a shallow experience. That kind of experience is like a fire that will burn you to ashes. The only fire that burns but doesn't leave ashes is the fire of God. The only experience that is unalloyed is an experience that comes from the depths of great truth wrought within the soul. The Lord Jesus was dealing with the reality, not the profession, mind you, not the initial appearance, but the reality, the abiding, fruit-bearing reality of life in the soul. I don't want to get off into expounding the parables, but I fear. Now, I'm not the judge of souls, thank God. But I fear that most of our church members in evangelical and fundamental and even Reformed churches will be found in the day of judgment to be people like those on the stony ground. They spring up, there appears to be life, but there isn't. Or like the thorny ground, again there appears to be life, but there isn't. This is what Christ is dealing with. The people on the stony ground, A, had a response to the gospel that appeared positive. B, they had an appearance of life about them. At the beginning it looked like they were the real thing. Same with the thorny ground. But they weren't saved. No reality. That's what Christ is preaching about. He's preaching about the power of vital godliness. The word vital in this connection does not mean necessary, although obviously godliness is necessary. It comes from the Latin word vita, meaning life. Vital godliness is living godliness. Godliness that is produced by life. You see how God's truth differs from man's religion? Man's religion teaches that practice produces life. God's truth tells say that the word church and the word kingdom are total equivalents. They're not. But for the purpose of understanding and applying this to our hearts, He will gather out of His church. The things that offend. And them that practice iniquity and cast them into the furnace of fire. He's talking here about fitness for the judgment. I could go on and deal with other parables in other places where the Lord Jesus shows you it's great truth that He's dealing with. Some of their, we have young men here this morning who are preparing for the Christian ministry. I'm going to give you a free lesson in homiletics. I remember reading this years ago. I think it was in Dr. W.G.T. Shedd, in his book on preaching and pastoral theology. And he was simply saying what I'm saying here and what we're learning from the Lord Jesus, but he said, preachers must always take great texts. I am sick, sore, and tired of preachers trying to be clever. Preachers who long to be original. Dr. Shedd also taught the only originality a preacher can honestly display is to be faithful to the text of God's Word. This is the original. It's not my job to come to you with something that I have finally spun out of my imagination. It is not my job to come to you to show you the width of my reading or the depth of my philosophy. It is my job to come to you with the great truths of the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. And that's what every preacher must do. There is this exclusive focus on great truths. Second thing I point out is that the Lord Jesus Christ presented these truths in unforgettable ways. He used parables, stories, often defining parables as a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. The word parable comes from a Greek term that has the idea of something thrown beside something else. In other words, it carries in it the idea of a comparison. Now, you'll see immediately you have two elements, and I'm going to say there's a third element. I really maybe shouldn't get into this because it's more for something you've got to teach preachers, especially when they start parabolic preaching of their own and using symbolisms and illustrations. But let me point this out. In every parable, you have a symbol. That's the story. And then you have the fulfillment of it. That's the interpretation. Now, those are the two elements in every parable. But obviously, there has to be a third element that makes the symbol a fit illustration of the thing that is being illustrated. There's a technical term that theologians use for this. To try and get around a whole lot of big words, they have a little Latin phrase, and they call this the tertium comparationis, which really is the third of comparison. What does that mean? It means that there's a third element in every parable. If I may symbolize it or describe it this way, it's like a bridge. It has one foot here and one foot here, and it brings the both sides together. In the parable, you don't only have the symbol and the thing symbolized, but you have a third undefined, unspoken element that makes this a fit symbol of that. In other words, it is the essence or the ground of the comparison. When you look at the Lord Jesus Christ's parables, you'll find that there is always this which is unspoken, but is easily recognizable, that makes the illustration clearly comprehensible and right. And you can say, now I can see why he uses that, which I can understand, to define and describe that which would otherwise be very mysterious. There is, in every good illustration, there is that unspoken element which people will, without being able to isolate it, define it, or even Stop to think it's there. They will immediately feel the rightness of this. Now, just a word again to the preachers in passing. You've got to be very careful here. Because though people don't think of this, you should. And you should always make sure in any illustration you're giving that there is that third unspoken element, that it really is a fit means of conveying the truth you want to convey.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.